Depot gas pumps, a Model T Ford, and a guestbook to sign. Jim says many of those who come through know the famed highway from old movies and the famous song. That includes a couple from Italy that came through on this Friday morning. Donovan remembers a day when the highway was a main artery for traffic, and the site was a 24-hour gas station.
My dad was on third shift when he started here in about 1947. And then when they built the other road, they cut the third shift off because traffic wasn't as heavy. And then just went down to two shifts after that. So he worked the second shift up until he passed away in 57.
Donovan is a native of Dwight and a retired meat cutter. His son works for R.R. Donnelly & Sons. Besides the prison, the phone book publisher is the other major employer in town. But in a time of cell phones and few phone booths, Jim says there have been gradual layoffs at Donnelly and speculates things could get worse.
The whole place, if it shuts down, is really going to devastate the town. Both the prison and Donnelly's, both would really, really be bad.
Many of the 343 prison guards and other staff from the facility live in town or nearby. AFSCME Local 1133 President and Correctional Officer Dan Dunlap says Governor Pat Quinn's February announcement that he would shutter the prison was the first time the facility had even been threatened with seeing its doors close.
That's one of those things that I don't think that anybody could ever really be prepared for. It's surreal, the amount of stuff you have to do to get everybody motivated, get everybody on the same page.
Dunlap is happy the union's legal efforts have extended the hold on prisoner transfers and holds out hope Quinn's efforts are reversed. Some workers have job transfers to other prisons in place, but Dunlap says he'll stay in town and fight for the prison's survival.
I did not take an open position I didn't want to take a spot away from a younger guy that has a young family, and I didn't want to push him out.
Lance Leeds is a Methodist pastor in Dwight. He's new to the community, though he has counseled prison workers before near two facilities in southern Illinois. Leeds understands the stress such employees go through.
There's a daily fear of, I might not come home. I might not come home. And I think that there's a certain amount of uncertainty as far as what they're going to be getting into at the new assignments.
Livingston County is heavily Republican, and it certainly doesn't help that Democratic Governor Pat Quinn sought to close Dwight Correctional Center even after lawmakers set aside funding for it, and members of a legislative panel voted against the move. But the prison isn't the only state-run facility in town.
If you walk into Fox Center, you will see a home atmosphere. It's not an institution.
Paula Holston and husband Roger are part of a steady lunch crowd at the old Route 66 family restaurant in Dwight. Paula works at Fox Developmental Center, a state facility that serves more than 100 residents with developmental disabilities who have severe medical or behavioral needs. There have never been specific plans for closing Fox, but Paula says there are always rumors. And having cared for their residents for years, she thinks not only of what correctional workers are going through, but what inmates and nearby family members are thinking.
It's supposed to be a correctional center, and how would corrections deal with families who are really upset that their loved one is that far away?
Alex McWilliams' family has been in Dwight for four generations, running a farm management company. He notes the town was already facing difficult fiscal challenges.
We've lost some stores downtown, which, you know, has not helped our economy at all. People seem to want to go out of town to buy, and when they do that, the sales tax dollars go out of town with them.
McWilliams is involved with Dwight Main Street, which uses state expertise to revitalize downtown. But he says it seems that for every step forward, the program becomes mired in Illinois' political red tape. If the prison does close, the city's newest downtown business owners could be dealt a bad break, but they still hope to become a catalyst for that sagging local economy.
I think this town with Route 47, 17, and Interstate 55 coming here, it's huge. I mean, it's a destination point.
Pete Meister still looks at the location as a plus. He and wife Joy, both area natives, just opened Station 343, a steak and pasta house in a refurbished 130-year-old building. Pete will only say they spent a lot to fulfill a lifelong dream.
I mean, there's already people coming from Chicago that's been in our restaurant, and Peoria, St. Louis, that just happened to stop in. And everything's been great, and they talk highly about it. I mean, I think they'll be coming back.
A local realtor says the looming threat of a prison closure hasn't caused any panic selling of homes, and the market isn't any worse than it is elsewhere. And Dwight Chamber of Commerce President Bob Ohlendorf says there's a resiliency in town, one that shone through when a 2010 tornado caused significant damage.
People stepped up to the plate and got that fixed rather fast, so I think there'll still be, you know, people will work harder about bringing in other businesses and things like that, but it's going to be hard to cover that income level. That's the thing. So most people don't start out at the level that state employees do.
And one of those state employees, local AFSCME union president and corrections officer Dan Dunlap, isn't about to give in, even if the correctional center does close.
My current plan is, if this does happen, that I'll remain here and lobby to get the prison reopened until it's reopened, and then I'll go back to work.
That willfulness might be just what Dwight needs as the village faces up to an uncertain future. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media.
There's a slideshow of photos from Dwight on our website, will.illinois.edu. Illinois' delegates to the Republican National Convention in Florida will finally get down to party business today. Tropical Storm Isaac prompted the GOP to cancel yesterday's convention kickoff, and that left delegates and politicos near Tampa plenty of time for speculation about the election. That is, the election for Illinois governor in 2014. From Florida, Alex Keefe reports.
As Isaac whipped sheets of rain against the Illinois Republicans' hotel, many in the delegation hunkered down, trying to figure out what to do with their newfound free time. I found Ashvin Ladd from Chicago munching on bacon in a hotel banquet hall during the daily delegation breakfast.
If it comes down hard, I'll stay here and play cards. We'll see.
What's your game?
Poker.
I soon found out Ladd works for Illinois Treasurer Dan Rutherford, a name often mentioned when people speculate who might run against Democratic Governor Pat Quinn in 2014. I asked Ladd if he's hearing the same thing about his boss or anybody else.
Definitely considering it, yeah.
Aaron Schock.
I hear rumors about that one.
Kirk Dillard.
I hear rumors about that one.
Those three names, Treasurer Rutherford, Congressman Schock from Peoria, and West Suburban State Senator Dillard, those are the three that keep coming up. Now, sure, this little political parlor game does help cooped-up reporters and delegates pass the time during the storm. But of all the seats up for grabs in 2 years, Republican leaders here seem most optimistic about their ability to win the governor's mansion, to take it away from the Democrat they say has failed to fix Illinois' finances. The only question is, who's it going to be?
Well, right now there's probably about 12 of them.
Judy Dickelman and Bobby Peterson sit in the hotel lobby as the storm blows outside. Together, they've spent more than 50 years in the Illinois GOP. They both hold leadership posts, and they both mention the same three names when I ask about the 2014 gubernatorial race.
Well, I think some of them started long before now. You know.
Yeah. They're putting their plans together right now. They're looking around at party leaders who can help them achieve their goal.
All three lawmakers seem to be taking advantage of their networking opportunities at this year's convention.
Hi, how are you? Hey, Don. Good to see you, my friend.
After breakfast Monday, Treasurer Rutherford worked the hotel lobby like a rope line. As the chairman of Mitt Romney's Illinois campaign, he's elevated his profile in the state party. Then there's Congressman Schock, the young, handsome workout buddy of GOP vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan, who's been making the rounds on cable news shows.
You know, I've got Fox and Friends, CNN, Starting Point, and Morning Joe.
Meanwhile, State Senator Dillard, who just barely lost the gubernatorial primary in 2010, was already telling reporters what he'd do differently in 2014.
You know, I'll put whatever I learned if I decide to run to work this time that wasn't in place last time.
Now, yes, a lot of this is speculation, and yes, a lot can happen in 2 years, but people like Ashvin Ladd, the poker-playing delegate from Chicago, say that's partially actually what the Republican National Convention is about, letting potential candidates gauge their support among the party faithful.
The side conversations are going to happen by Illinois, because we're all here, one big happy family, about 300 of us in one hotel in a storm, and, you know, inside baseball talks, that comes up.
And when you actually ask Rutherford, Schock, and Dillard point blank to address all the speculation about the 2014 governor's race, it seems like they've all heard this question before.
Let's just say my absolute laser beam focus is on Mitt Romney being the president of the United States.
Quite frankly, I'm focused on the election in front of us in 2012.
We got to get through the presidential election first before we really laser focus in on the governor.
All those laser beams will likely come into sharper focus today when the Republican National Convention officially gets underway. With the Illinois Republican delegation in Florida, I'm Alex Keefe.
WILL programs are made possible by Hendrick House at Green and Lincoln, three blocks from the Engineering Quad. Hendrick House Catering can tailor a menu and price for events from corporate box lunches to weddings, business meetings, and other special events. More information is available at 365-8004.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's August the 28th, 2012. It was on this day, 1971, Alice Waters opened her Berkeley restaurant, Chez Panisse, the birthplace of California cuisine, fusion cuisine, locally grown foods used to prepare dishes from different traditions around the world. She had majored in French studies at Berkeley in the mid-60s, traveled to France, had a meal in Brittany, which she said was a great inspiration for the rest of her life. It was a meal of cured ham and melon, trout with almonds and raspberry tart. The trout had just come from the stream, the raspberries from the garden. She came back to Berkeley, did a lot of cooking for her friends, decided to start a French restaurant, and on this day, 1971, Chez Panisse opened its doors. It had a set menu: pâtés en croûte, salad, duck with olives, and for dessert, an almond tart, which all came to $3.95 back in 1971. Chez Panisse was around for 4 years, and then Gourmet magazine did a big article about it, and business picked up. Chez Panisse began listing on the menu the way it prepared its dishes and the places where the ingredients came from. So these days, a Chez Panisse menu lists stuff like Marin Sun Farms beef tenderloin grilled over vine cuttings, or king salmon baked in rock salt with wild fennel gratin, new potatoes, and wilted amaranth greens, or Santa Rosa plum ice cream profiteroles with plum caramel. It's in the same location in Berkeley today, but the cost of dinner has risen from $3.95